Let's pick up on that story that Anne read to us earlier of the woman who comes to anoint Jesus' head. You'll find it in Mark chapter 14. And I'm going to read it again because I'm going to read a first couple of verses that Anne didn't read and also the verses at the end that she didn't read from this chunk of Scripture. So Mark chapter 14. Now the Passover and the Feast of Unleavened Bread were only 2 days away. And the chief priests and the teachers of the law were looking for some sly way to arrest Jesus and kill him. But not during the feast, they said, or the people may riot. While he was in Bethany, reclining at the table in the home of a man known as Simon the leper, a woman came with an alabaster jar of very expensive perfume made of pure nard. She broke the jar and poured the perfume on his head. Some of those present were saying indignantly to one another, "Why this waste of perfume? It could have been sold for more than a year's wages and the money given to the poor." And they rebuked her harshly. "Leave her alone," said Jesus. "Why are you bothering her? She's done a beautiful thing to me. The poor you will always have with you, and you can help them any time you want. But you will not always have me. She did what she could. She poured perfume on my body beforehand to prepare for my burial. I tell you the truth, wherever the gospel is preached throughout the world, what she has done will also be told in memory of her." Then Judas Iscariot, one of the 12, went to the chief priests to betray Jesus to them. They were delighted to hear this and promised to give him money. So he watched for an opportunity to hand him over. Just sense, really, it's right to re-center this sermon. What I was going to do was pick up on the four, responses to Jesus that there are in this passage. So the chief priests and teachers of the law, the woman herself, some of those who were present and became indignant about the waste of perfume, and then, of course, about Judas Iscariot. And I suppose the focus of where I've been thinking all week is to try and use the three and not the woman to challenge us to come to a place where we love Jesus so much that we do what the woman did and offer extravagant worship. And yeah, I just feel, and I hope it's not just me, that actually in our service this morning, through the songs that we've sung, through the testimony that Darren's brought us, through the testimony that Ron's brought us, through the word that Hazel, whatever she is, has brought us, through taking bread and wine, that actually, at this moment, we're in that place where we want to give to Jesus what the woman did. Do I sense that? Am I wrong that actually we're here? We're at that place now. We could just adore him now for who he is and for what he's done. And maybe that's the best thing to do, really. Although I do think it's probably worth just highlighting the dangers that occur in our lives, our everyday lives, that draw us away from this place. It's so easy, isn't it, to stand here this morning, to sit here this morning, to be in this place of worshipping Jesus. And then we leave the building and everything else rushes in. And we go to work tomorrow and, you know, I'm in Ron's situation, maybe extreme, but for many of us there are pressures at work. Perhaps just good to pick up on these things, because it's about priorities, you see. For the woman, Jesus was the priority. I hope that's where we are right now. We want to say that Jesus is the priority. The stuff we've sung, first song this morning, this is amazing grace, this is unending love, that you should take my place. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. This is where we are right now. these chief priests and teachers of the law, you think they'd be happy, wouldn't you, that somebody's come along into their world and are making people excited about Jesus. Jesus is talking about God, and people are getting excited and following him. You'd think they'd be thrilled to bits. This is their job. But actually, they're seeking some sly way to arrest him and kill him. But not during the feast, they said, or the people may riot. See, there's something here that Jesus is rocking their boat. Jesus is challenging the status quo in their lives as they live it every day. These are religious people. These are believers. These are people who give a lot to serve the Lord. And yet Jesus is coming along and he's rocking their boat. His message is radical and it's rocking their boat and challenging their status quo. And the fact that they won't do it because the people may riot shows you, I think, that it's about the desire to worship God centers around what other people think. And there's something that stops them from worshiping Jesus. The fact that he challenges who they are and what they've got and the status they have in society, and also the fact that it's what other people think matter. Here's a challenge to us folks. How, tomorrow morning, wherever you are, this time tomorrow, I don't know what you'll be doing. You picture yourself there now, and somebody asks you how your weekend was. Somebody asks you, what were you doing this time yesterday? In other words, now, what were you doing? You know, what will you say? Will you say, I was on the point of breaking perfume on Jesus' head? Or actually, will we duck out and think about the tennis or lunch or our relationships or whatever it might be? Is it about what other people think of us? Jesus' message is still as radical today. He wants everything, folks. He wants our lives. Not just an hour on Sunday morning. He wants everything. And these guys, you know, it was too much for them. It threatened what they did. It threatened who they were. It threatened everything about their lives, which gave them status. It threatened. Following Jesus would have taken that away. And what they didn't realize, of course, that by following Jesus, they had a greater status where it matters, before God. That's what matters. Not what people think, not what we think about ourselves, but actually what he thinks. Giving their lives to Jesus would have given them an even better life satisfaction than they had. So these chief priests and teachers of law, they had a choice to make, Jesus' way of life or their own. And that's the same choice. You know, the way we live our lives day by day, the things we do matter-of-factly day by day, the habits we've got, just the ways we follow, or Jesus. Same choice. What's our priority? The woman we'll come to in a few minutes, you know, to close with, because she's the cream, isn't she, in this passage. After she'd broken perfume on Jesus' head, it's just one verse, you know, the story of what she did is just one verse in this. Some of those present were saying indignantly to one another, why this waste of perfume? Could have been given to the poor. Could have been given to Cap to help the poor. And they rebuked her harshly. So here's some people who are just very practical. My heart bleeds for them, really. I am warm to these people. Makes sense, doesn't it? You know, the church needs... What do we need, Jane? Treasury? Where's the treasurer? What do we need, Jane, to keep the books in the black and to pay for three staff workers and do all the work that the church is doing? And it makes sense, doesn't it, not to waste money on bread and wine and musicians and photocopying music, and that's daft, isn't it? Why waste money on stuff like that? Well, because we want to worship Jesus and give him the best that we've got. part of me is, tries to be really practical. Somebody comes up with a great idea and I'm thinking, hang on, what's the problem here? There's a difficulty here. What about this? What if it goes that way and not that way? Rather than just saying, give it to the Lord and let him do this. These people, verse 4, some of those present. Matthew's gospel, he has these words on the lips of the disciples. Again, believers, followers of the Lord Jesus, and yet not as faith-filled and as daring as he is, as he wants them to be. In John's gospel, you read the same story. He has these words on the lips of Judas alone, that the one disciple who would betray Jesus. Mark, probably the first written of the gospels, just has some of those present. So not all of them, not all of the disciples, not all of those guests who were there, but some, a few, enough, just to throw dirt on this beautiful picture of this woman pouring perfume on the head of Jesus, extravagantly giving to him the best that she could. That's all it takes, isn't it? Just a few of us to throw dirt on, you know, on the work of the church, or on the work of any one of us, or any of the things that go on here in the life of the church. These people were indignant. The language is strong, isn't it? To one another. That's not going to work. What's going on here? What a waste. And so often that happens, doesn't it, in church? Just that. Don't like this person. Seeing what she's doing. And they rebuked her harshly. Instead of being faith-filled and in just embracing all that she was trying to do, this beautiful thing, Jesus says, that this woman has done to me. And then there's Judas. Read the story, sort of imagine him dressed in black, being booed and hissed as he comes on stage, and being booed and hissed as he goes off again. Perhaps we're a bit hasty in that judgment. Again, in John's Gospel, you'll read that Judas was the purse keeper and actually had his fingers in the till. He was out to make money from all that the disciples and Jesus was doing. And so, if that's the case, you can understand him, can't you? You know, this is the straw that broke his back, really. This a year's wages, over a year's wages in a small vial, is that the right word, of perfume, just wasted. And he's thinking, oh man, you know, we could have fed the poor, but actually I could have got a few more bob here. Mark doesn't mention that, of course. It just says that Judas, one of the 12, went to the chief priests to betray Jesus to them. We know, don't we, that he's a zealot. We know that he wanted the Romans kicked out of the Holy Land. Jesus has started talking about dying. It's not what Judas was up to at all. You can sense the disappointment, perhaps. And so he takes things into his own hands and goes to the chief priest to betray Jesus to him. Of course, they're delighted. Now they have a way. Not so much to slyly find a way to arrest him and kill him. Now he can be betrayed by one of his own. And so we boo Judas off. But actually, he's disappointed with God and God's ways of doing things. And he's taken things into his own hands. Do we ever do that? Are we ever disappointed with God and the way he does things? The way he doesn't answer our prayers the way we want? Do we ever perhaps just nudge things along in the way that we want them to go? Maybe not all of us. Maybe just one or two of us today just need to hear God saying, my will, not yours. My way, not yours. This is what I want for you. Not that, but this. Trust in me. And then we come to the woman. In John's Gospel, the story, this is Mary, the sister of Lazarus and Martha. And therefore, in these last few days, if you follow John's chronology, Lazarus has been raised from the dead. Her brother, Mary's brother, has been raised from the dead. And actually, again, according to John's Gospel, is sat at this table, reclining at this table with Jesus in the home of Simon the leper. And Mary gate crashes. She's seen Jesus raise her brother from the dead. In that conversation with Jesus before he raises Lazarus, there's this talk about, I am the resurrection and the life. Do you believe this, Mary? Do you believe I'm the Son of God on earth, come to set people free? We don't really know whether she understands what she's doing. Does she realize that Jesus has come to die and in 48 hours' time he'll die on a cross? And does she realize the theory of penal substitution? Does she realize that he'll be raised from the dead? Does she realize that for 2,000 years there'll be people worshipping this Jesus? Does she realize that on the 31st of January, on Jill Storrs and Dom's and Louise's birthday, that we would be sitting here remembering her? I don't think she did. Just from her heart, she wanted to worship Jesus in a way that was costly, in the best way that she could. What did Jesus say? She's done a beautiful thing to me. She did what she could. And that's what he wants us to do, folks. That's what he wants us to do as we just reflect on this passage. What he wants us to do as we go from here, or perhaps as we sing our last song, and then as we go from here, he wants us to give the best that we can. He wants us to do the best that we can in making him the priority of our life. And not worrying about what other people think. And not worrying about whether it's going our way or you know, whether we're disappointed with God, and not worrying whether it's a practical way of doing things, but actually just giving our best, our all, a costly sacrifice for Jesus Christ. Darren, you know, you're here today, and it's Cap, and we support you, and it's great work that you're doing. But just to quote Jesus here, the poor we will always have with us, and we can help them tomorrow. Today, he wants us to give everything to him. Lord Jesus, we thank you for this passage. We thank you, Lord, for this woman, Mary, we believe, who gave her best for you. Lord, don't let us leave here without this challenge, Lord, deep in our hearts. Lord, we may not have a bottle of perfume to break, Lord. But, Lord, whatever is valuable to us, Lord, whether it's our time, whether it's our money, whether, Lord, it's the expression of our lips and our hearts and our hands as we worship you, Lord, whether it's our whole life that's ahead and the work that we do or the relationships that we enjoy, Lord, don't let us leave this place without promising you that in everything, Lord, we will be God-honoring, Christ-serving, led by your Holy Spirit to bring glory to your name. Amen. So let's sing to go. I will offer up, is that the one? I will offer up my life in spirit and truth. You deserve my every breath. Do you know this is a great, isn't it? This is not just a song, folks. This is a vehicle to express your praise to the Lord and to give your lives again to him.